Here we are in the Congressional Corner with Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, a Democrat of New York's beautiful 18th District. He's been in office since 2013. Sean, I guess I got to ask you this. So last time we were talking, you were talking about your support for ending the filibuster. But you must wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat and say, what if the Republicans, as sometimes happens in by-elections, take the House of Representatives? Then you're sitting there and take the Senate, of course, and you're sitting there and the Senate, which is the place that the filibuster occurs, will be ready to move much easier because you got rid of the filibuster. There's a question there somewhere,
Sean. I think we should have elections. They should empower the people who win them to do things in office, and then the voters should render a judgment on that. And if we've got fair elections and fair districts and big money out of politics, which is what part of what we're working on down here, and if we've got a Senate that is already undemocratic because it empowers geography over population, then I'm not worried about, you know, I'm not worried about the consequences of people getting what they vote for. Let me put it that way. And I think we have better ideas than the red team. Right now, the Republicans in Washington don't have any ideas. We're passing an American Rescue Plan to end the pandemic and reboot the economy. They don't have a plan. They have blind opposition to ours, and they're saying a bunch of stuff about it that doesn't make sense. I mean, they're reading Dr. Seuss books instead of engaging in a serious conversation about infrastructure or about campaign finance reform. So I want to have responsible adults govern, and I want the voters to be able to look at what they do to see results and then render a judgment on it instead of this trench warfare that goes on forever that just frustrates the voters that nothing ever happens. And I think we've got a system here that is too sclerotic. We should get things done and let the voters decide whether they like it or not. I'm not afraid of that.
Well said. Now, in New York State, of course, the gerrymander has always been important. Now there's supposed to be a kind of commission that makes sure that people don't take advantage of it. But we have a gerrymander, the potential for redistricting coming, and somebody's going to have to lose a district. Obviously, one less congressman, maybe two. What do you make of that?
Well, I think that I would argue that New York has never really had the legislature draw the lines. I mean, when I got elected in 2012, the court did it because the legislature punted.
Right.
So the fact is we've been running on Republican lines in New York and everywhere else for a long time. We're the guys on the blue team. The Democrats are saying, let's reform the whole thing, have it done in a fair way. Give me circles and squares, none of these crazy districts. Keep communities together, put some logic behind it, and we'll take our chances. We're not afraid of the voters. We're not afraid of doing it fair. In New York, you do have unified Democratic government. You've got super majorities of control in the Senate and the House. Obviously, the people are voting for something there, and that should be reflected in the redistricting process. That's fair. But I would reform it all. But if we're gonna have the system we have, I'm not gonna bring a knife to a gunfight because the Republicans have gerrymandered all to hell places like Texas and North Carolina and Florida and Georgia, and we have been running on Republican lines and we still won the majority. So give it to me fair, or at least let me compete, and we'll do okay.
So you're quite right. The places we want to look at are places where the gerrymander has worked to keep the Republicans in power. You know, you mentioned when you ran, the New York State Senate was what we used to call constitutionally Republican because they always went up to the table and said, we got to have our guys protected. That ain't right. It's a question mark.
The world has changed, and not only has the Republican majority in the Senate been thrown on the scrap heap by the voters, it has been turned into a supermajority for the Democrats. So the people have made pretty clearly as recently as November the direction they want New York State government to go. I do think that should be reflected in the redistricting process. And I'm not talking about doing anything like the Republicans do in the states that they control. But the better solution is to reform the whole thing so that neither side plays these games. And the nice thing about being a Democrat is that we're not afraid of the voters. It's that we believe we'll do just fine if everybody gets to vote, if everybody has fair districts, if there's a competition. And because things like the American Rescue Plan that are going to end the pandemic and get the economy going are ideas that we're going to do fine on politically because they're addressing real needs. The Republican Party has driven itself down a blind alley here. And except for being opposed to everything or being wrapped around the axle of some dangerous conspiracy theories or dead-ending the Donald Trump stuff, I don't know what they stand for anymore. So I'll take our ideas to the voters. I just want a fair playing field.
Well, that's fair, and I agree with you, but we're not talking New York State now. We're talking about all those redistrictings which around the country, which really are gerrymandered like crazy, and that's another whole story. I take it you're looking at each of those as they come up, right?
Well, if you're talking about in my role as chairman of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, look, I'm here to win seats, and I'm here to protect this majority and to grow it, and I feel pretty urgent about it because I think the other side is not capable right now of governing responsibly. I'm not talking about the local Republicans in the Hudson Valley or in New York, by the way. I go around all the time and work with county executives and town supervisors who are serious people, Republicans. All of them, and they take their job seriously, and we don't agree about everything, but I respect them. What I'm telling you is that a very dangerous element is controlling the Republican caucus in Washington, and I don't want them governing because I listen to them deny school shootings and yell at Parkland survivors. I don't want those kids I don't want those people keeping my kids safe in school. You know what I mean? And I'm not making this up for people who think I'm making it up. 199 of their members voted to keep Marjorie Taylor Greene on the Education Committee, and she isn't sure a plane hit the Pentagon on 9/11, okay? So what's happening down here is that you've got one responsible party that is going to do its best, not going to get everything right, but we're governing. And you got the other party that is talking about Dr. Seuss and conspiracy theories and looking the other way while a violent mob attacks the Capitol. And I feel pretty urgent about keeping responsible people in charge. And that's my job is to protect this majority so that we can deliver for the American people.
I want to ask you about infrastructure reform. We all know that it has to be done. Trump even knew it had to be done and kept talking about it, but they're doing nothing about it. So what are your expectations?
We're going to do it. And you're going to see it right out of the gate as soon as we deliver today on this American Rescue Plan. So we're delivering a massive response to defeat the pandemic and reboot the economy. Within a few weeks, you will see us take up in my committee, the Transportation Infrastructure Committee, a massive infrastructure bill, and we will get that done. And those two pillars will be definitional, I think, of what we care about, which is rebuilding our country, rebuilding our economy, ending the pandemic. And we want them to be bipartisan. We want this infrastructure bill to be bipartisan, but we're gonna get something done.
What do we need to do? I know that I just read that China put on 18,000 miles of high speed rail. Why are we dropping behind in this country?
Well, we have to invest in our own country, and the Chinese are doing that, and good on them. But what I'm going to do is work to pass a major infrastructure bill in the next couple of months. I think before the end of the summer, you are going to see a massive infrastructure bill pass the House and Senate, be signed into law by the president. And we are going to invest in our surface transportation, in our rail networks, in our ports, in our airports, in our broadband systems. And then more broadly, we should be investing in our educational infrastructure, our schools, and in housing as well. But we've got to invest in our own country. We have failed to do so for too long.
I want to talk to you a little bit about the COVID program that you've been referring to, $1.9 trillion, a lot of money. What's in it that you love?
I think the most important things are that we are going to provide immediate and meaningful support to the families that are struggling. I'm talking about $1,400 payments to individuals and $1,400 for kids. So a family of four, you're looking at $5,600. I'm talking about supporting people who are still unemployed with extended unemployment benefits. Continuing the small business programs, the PPP program that will help so many small businesses and have 11,000 businesses just in my district, 100,000 people still working because of those programs. And those will be forgivable, so those businesses will be in the clear. And there's help for performing arts and the Save Our Stages plan program. There's help for the critical vaccination and testing work we have to do, you know, our mass transit system. So Metro North will be supported. That's so important in our part of the world. This is a comprehensive and massive rescue plan that is necessary because of the scale of this pandemic. And so what the projections are of 6.5% economic growth if we pass this in the next year, 4.5% the year after that. This is gonna. By the way, the child tax credits in this will take half of the children living in poverty today in America and lift them out of poverty.
Okay, let's talk about police accountability, the George Floyd reform bill, which was recently passed in the House. What does it do, and what are the chances we'll see some results?
Well, let's remember, I mean, George Floyd got murdered. It a lot of us thought that was wrong and we ought to do something about it. Sadly, a lot of people tried to demagogue that issue for political gain. The fact is the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act will bring important reforms to the way policing is done. I'm talking about things like body cameras, I'm talking about things like banning chokeholds, which result in the death of too many people who often aren't dangerous. We're talking about things like misconduct registries and more accountability for police departments, better data, a more active role for the Justice Department in policing these things. It's a good bill. We should get it done.
It's always wonderful to talk to Sean Patrick Maloney from the beautiful 18th District that he represents in Washington.
Thank you, Alan.